Welcome to the Advice Show on, well, now we're starting. Welcome to the Advice Show on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, as always, and we got Miss Gabriella, the co-host, the one that will put you in your place. Miss Gabriella, what's going on?
I'm fine. Glad to be here.
All right, and tonight's show is Should We Mentor Our Kids? And we got a special guest. Let me tell you something about this guest. This brother is really doing the work. He is part of the solution. It's not part of the problem. There's many people that love to talk about the problem, about hood rats and thugs, love to talk about the single parent problem and everything, but we never try to fix anything and just try to put a repetitive cycle. So this brother is trying to take the talents that he has and his skills and use it to reach out to the next generation, which that's what we should do, and use our platforms to make a difference in the lives of, you know, people, especially these future kids. It's going to be adults. So I'm going to bring in Locke. And Locke, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. How about yourself tonight?
Oh, we all good. So Let me ask you a first question. What made you say, you know what, I'm going to take, you know, my talents in rap and use it for the kids?
You know, it was a variety of influences, but, you know, number one, I read a lot. So as an MC who, you know, I started rhyming at a very early age. I was in the third grade, I think, when I really started freestyling and doing things of that nature. So just being in love with hip-hop and being this MC and then reading a lot, you know, I began to merge the two worlds. And then, you know, just looking at our community and then seeing everything that's going on, I thought it was a wonderful opportunity to not only just create something different, but also create something that people can learn from, especially the kids.
Okay, now, what brought this passion?
You know, I mean, which passion are you talking about? You talking about
the passion to reach out to the kids, because not too many dudes that's in the rap game or anything like that not going to say that they're going to try to do their thing to help our kids. So did something happen in your life where you saw, like, man, I just really, you know, need to help these kids? I mean, because usually some event or maybe something you grew up and you saw, I mean, what was it?
Well, you know, I mean, I think people do things in their own way. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody is going to have the ability to just, you know, read something and put it into a rap format. You know what I'm saying? I definitely think that takes a particular kind of skill. So, you know, people do things in their own way. But for me, you know, definitely just growing up in the environment that I grew up in and seeing the things that I've seen, and, you know, it being that I have the ability to put together these types of songs, then it's like, okay, you know, this is what I can do. And it was pretty much just being in the studio, creating music and seeing if I liked it, and then being able to go with that. But then as far as just being in the community, you know, once you grow up in a particular environment and you see what's going on, you know, as you become an adult, if you have the opportunity to do something, you do it, I think.
Okay. Well, I was reading on your thing, and it said you've been rapping since 10. Who are some of your influences?
Oh, man, I was listening to Big Daddy Kane and LL Cool J and Rakim and the Jungle Brothers and Public Enemy and, you know, Boogie Down Productions and Bismarck, N.W.A., and, you know, these were the individuals that I was listening to. Dougie Fresh, you know, when I first started getting into hip-hop. You know, Run DMC and the Fat Boys and Queen Latifah and MC Light. You know, those were the MCs that I grew up listening to. Kid and Play and, you know, Salt and Pepper.
Now, you named off every person back in the day that I even used to listen to and that who were actually pioneers. All of them had something different. All of them brought something to the table in music, kind of like today. You look at the hip-hop or rap, I hate the word hip-hop. When you look at rap, because to me it was called rap. And to me, when it got mainstream, in other words, when it started mixing with everybody, it got changed to hip-hop. But the original rap, I remember what it was about. It was about telling our stories and telling what's going on in the streets. And that, a lot of that is kind of missing today, don't you think?
Well, you know, it's there, but it's not in the mainstream. You know, people are, especially rappers, you know, there's rappers that's constantly telling their stories and constantly telling you know, giving you a real depiction of what's happening in their communities and in their neighborhoods. But as far as the mainstream, as far as when you turn on the radio and turn on your television, no, you're not going to see it there, you know what I mean, because that's a whole different, you know, it's a different sort of beast that's presenting that information to you. So you're not getting, you're just getting a small aspect of what hip-hop has to offer. So it's not necessarily missing, but, you know, you're not going to see it in the mainstream. You know what I mean? But that's, like I said, that's something totally different.
Now, you think that mainstream just want to push a certain image to the kids of what art is supposed to be for other reasons outside of just putting out music?
Yeah, of course. You know, it's, you know, there's definitely agendas. You know, there's definitely, as far as there's financial gains, you know, if this is what they think is sell, then this is what they want to put out. You know, there's definitely images that people want to control and have you look at, and, you know, those are the images that they want people to follow, you know, and different trends that corporations want to set. So, you know, that all of that exists when you're dealing with the mainstream media and when you're dealing with finances and people who have money and power controlling what you see. So that's definitely something that's going to exist. But, you know, creativity, that can never be slowed down. It is just something that can be, I guess, not shown in the mainstream media, but, you know, you can't stop a person from being creative.
Yeah, some of the best rappers that I've ever heard have been what you would consider underground. Because, like, most of the rappers I listen to from Houston, they not really mainstream, but they got the best music. You get the best music you want on datpiff.com than you would on some record store.
Definitely. Definitely, you know, that's the beautiful thing about hip hop. You know, is for example, you have all of these artists putting their music on datpiff.com. You know, especially artists that can't make it into the mainstream for whatever reason. You know, there's a variety of reasons that people don't get that particular stage. But, you know, if you search for it, you can find it. You know, the good thing about today is it's a technological age, so, you know, you can post your music in a variety of places and really try to, you know, promote yourself and get your music out there. So that's a good thing. But as far as the mainstream media, like I said, it's a totally different animal.
And I'm noticing, too, about mainstream, they kind of behind us now, don't you think? I mean, it's like we come out with stories where they come out with it. We say certain things now in the Internet age, and they always got to play catch up to us. Do you agree with that?
No. I think that, you know, just because you're seeing whatever it is that they want you to see, that doesn't mean that they don't have the information. You know what I mean? Just because, you know, you're looking at something, it doesn't mean that the people that's behind the information that's being presented to you, it doesn't mean that they don't know what's going on. So I'm not under that impression. I just think that, you know, there's certain information that people want you to have, and there's certain things that people want you to think they know. And that's, you know, that's just the way of the world. But now I don't assume that unseen hand is not up on what's going down.
All right, I was also reading here that, you know, they say you've been an avid reader since you was the age of 15. What's some of your favorite books?
Man, Race Matters, Cornel West. I always call it the autobiography of Frederick Douglass, but I think it's called The Narrative Tales of the Life of Frederick Douglass. That's definitely one of my favorites. Nile Valley Civilizations by Anthony Broder. That's definitely a good book. Man, you know, it's, you know, I mean, the list could go on. They Came Before Columbus by Ivan Van Sertima. That's an excellent book. You know, it's a lot. You know, it's a lot out there, man. I definitely could go on.
Okay, so when you first got in the studio and you say, you know what, I'm about to make this less than one album. I mean, what got you to say, you know what, I'm about to just put in this work on this album and try to get this message to these kids?
Really, man, it was an idea. You know, it was a friend of mine. You know, we was I was actually working on putting out like a underground mixtape about information that I don't necessarily think that people know about, but it would have been for adults. So So a friend of mine, we was going over the ideal of doing something for kids that's just straight education. So I'm like, okay, well, let me try it because I never did it before. So I'm like, let me go in the studio and let me try it and let me just take it from there. So, you know, I did the first song that I recorded was the first 25 presidents. You know, I was working on doing some research to do a song on presidents anyway. I just kind of flipped it into a kid format. Wrote the song, went in, recorded, loved how it came out. So from then on, it was just like, you know what, you know what I mean? Let me just go into my own personal library, and, you know, I can use this kind of music to really teach people, you know, the different things that I'm being exposed to. So it really started just from going into the studio, creating something, liking how it came out, and just, you know, taking it from there. But it actually started from liking the music first and foremost.
Okay, now, this song you have from the Less Than One album, Kings and Queens, Tell me what got you to write that one.
The first line in that is, we don't come from slaves, but from enslaved Africans. And I remember, you know, I was had a professor who used to always say, it's very important that you as a black person don't think you're the descendant of a slave. You know what I mean? It's an enslaved group of people. And if you say enslaved, you know, it opens the door for you to find out who are these forgotten relatives. You know what I mean? So that point was pretty much like the birthplace of this song. You know what I mean? I went into writing this song with that information in mind. And I talk about the kings and queens of Africa and, you know, just information that I don't think we generally know. And, you know, just that's the story of that song.
Okay, well, what I want to do is let everybody hear that particular song, because that's why I wanted to, you know, let you tell what inspires you to write it. And once we, you know, after the song, we'll be back with Locke and ask him a few more questions.
All right.
Shaka Zulu and Queen Nefertiti, one of the first to fight for the planet. man. We are the warriors. We are the champions. We are the men. The original man. We are the lions. We are the fighters. We are the children. The original man. We are the warriors. We are the champions. We are the men. The original man.
All right, that was Kings and Queens by Locke. Now, Locke, where can we get that album at, man?
Well, you can get that album. It's online. Go to Amazon. Of course, you can go to smart-hiphop.com. You can find it on there. But definitely, man, the album is available right now, iTunes, Amazon. It's online. You will find it, Lesson 1 by Locke from Smart Music Entertainment.
All right, so my co-host, Ms. Gabriella, got a line of questions for you.
Shoot, let's do it.
All right, so what I wanted to know is, what is something that you think is really important for kids to know? Like, I don't know, something like core values, or, you know, what kind of advice could you offer for someone who is, you know, in high school or middle school or anything like that?
Well, you know, I think the phrase knowledge is power is very important. I think learning everything that you can is very important. I think kids need to understand that reading and understanding, you know, every subject that they can possibly learn about is very important, because it, you know, it can translate into financial stability, especially when they become an adult. And, you know, these are definitely some of the things that we discuss in different workshops that I have. But, you know, I definitely try to just bring home the point that knowledge is power, and learning is very important. You know, so it's, you know, that's, now, of course, I can get into specifics, but as far as just giving you a very general answer that that's not long, you know what I mean, that's pretty much what it is.
All right.
Did I answer your question?
It wasn't really the answer that I was looking for, but... You know,
okay, well, what were you looking for?
I was looking for something like what kind of advice you would give, like maybe like 3 or 4 things you think is important for someone, you know, who is younger generation to know.
All right, so you mean if I was having a conversation with somebody and I'm like, yo, just take these 3 things away in life?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was trying to ask.
Oh, okay. All right, well, you know, I would still say knowledge is power, number one. You know, read everything that you can get your hands on. That's something that my Uncle Joe always used to say to me. Boy, read everything that you get your hands on. Number two, that definitely just, I don't know, you know what I mean? I want to say I would tell them about preparing for adulthood, or preparing for a life starts now. You know what I mean? You don't wait to become an adult to be an adult. It starts with everything that you're doing now. It starts with every class that you're taking now. So, you know, take everything that you're doing, it's very important. So have a sense of urgency. You know, those, I would definitely say that. And I think my third comment, it would really depend on who I'm talking to. You know what I mean? There's so many different directions that I can go in when I'm engaged in a conversation with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know what I mean? You're like, you know, what 3 things would I say? I don't know. But I would definitely say those 2 things I know in general. And I hope that at least those answers will begin to give you an answer to the question that you asked me.
All right, that's actually exactly what I was looking for.
Okay.
Another question that I wanted to know is, why do you think it's important to mentor children who are in a single-parent home?
Because if it's a single-parent home, you know, depending on what... if the mom or the dad's missing, either one, you know what I'm saying? It takes a village to raise a child. A family environment is very important. And sometimes, you know, if it's a single mom that's raising a son, you know, it's definitely good to get a male perspective, have that role model so you can begin to get some type of balance. You know, that's one aspect of why I think mentoring is important. Another thing is kids just need teachers to become adults. You know, just because you're growing older or you're getting older doesn't mean that you're necessarily getting smarter or better at something. You know, you need somebody to show you something. You need people to give you advice. That's another reason that mentoring is very important, you know, especially with our young men and young women being brought up in the communities that they're being brought up in. So, you know, those are definitely reasons that I think mentoring is vital within how our future is going to end up.
Okay, so do you think it's important for women to take an active role in mentoring their daughters?
Yes. I mean, that's like, yes. That's very important. You know what I mean? A mother is a child's first teacher anyway. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, that's very important. Because, you know, if you're a sister out there, you know, who better to get advice from than, you know, your mom, you know what I'm saying? Or another strong sister that can give you different advice on different things. So, I mean, I think it's very, very important. It's very critical. That's what I think.
Okay, so do any of your songs have a message that would cater to girls that are growing up and they, you know, they're faced with peer pressure and boys and all that?
No, I mean, not necessarily, but you know, when I do have the song Congresswoman, and, you know, when I do talk about the black congresswoman, I think that for young black women to, especially, you know, the young sisters that's coming up in the hood and, you know, situations that's crazy, you know, to at least hear that there are these sisters that contributed to the political arena, you know, and you know, did all of these positive things that they did, to hear that, you know, it just gives you something different to think about. You know what I mean? It gives you something else to consider. So, you know, like I said, knowledge is power. You know, information causes you to make different decisions. So, you know, at least to hear that and to at least know that information, you know, even if it's small, it's going to have some type of impact. So, you know, even though I don't necessarily speak about bullying and issues like that, I do think that this information can still be uplifting because it can spark different thoughts.
All right. And so your songs don't really talk about, you know, the kind of stereotypical things that anybody who's young is going through, like, you know, like kind of like insignificant little school stuff. It's more of trying to uplift and encourage the youth so that they, you know, they'll have a better idea of what they would like to be in the future. Or
well, no, this is really an education album. You know, so, you know, we have, you know, we talk about the first 25 presidents. We talk about the 50 states and the capitals. We talk about the Moors. You know, we talk about, you know, the kings and queens of Africa. We talk about, you know, it's an education-based album. So, you know, there's different ways that you can approach society, you know, but this is not really like a social album as far as the subject matter tackling those issues that you brought up directly, but it's you know, like I said, I think that the information can cause a different ripple, you know what I mean, definitely a different ripple in the ocean, but you know, it's not that album per se. It's really a educational album with information that sometimes it's high school subject orientated, you know, and sometimes it could be a little bit broader. But we definitely take the educational approach.
Okay, and so why do you think it's important to talk more about education rather than social issues?
It's not that it's more important, you know, because talking about social issues is important. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, pardon?
No, I was just, it's okay.
Oh no, I just didn't hear you there. I didn't know what you said, but they're both important things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So we're not, you know, this is, everything needs to be done. We need to talk about social issues, but we also need to stress education. There's a lot that needs to be done. You know what I mean? This is just something that's being done. You know what I mean? This is just something that we can do. This is just something else to add to the pot. But, you know, it's a lot more that we need to do in our community outside of, you know, just making education albums or having discussions about social issues. You know, there's definitely a lot of wars that need to be fought. But, you know, we're doing something.
Now, I just want to add something. That's a good thing that you are doing something in our stress and education, because it acts like in our community, it's like people don't want to get educated. No, you know how many people fought and died to get an education? So
yeah,
many.
Definitely. You know,
they don't want to read. They want to say statements like, oh, well, you're trying to be white. You're trying to read. Like, what? Like, how is she going to learn? You know, slaves, you know, tried to hide stuff just to learn how to read, and you don't want to read?
I mean, you know, it's by design. You know what I'm saying? When you think about, you know, our people coming from a place where it was illegal to know how to read. You know what I mean? It's illegal to know how to read. So it's no wonder, you know what I mean, that we're in this particular day and time, and culturally we're looking at education from a certain perspective. You know, it's going to be a process before we wipe everything that happened to us, and in my opinion, you know what I'm saying, it's specifically during the slavery era out. You know what I mean? You go through slavery for 400 years, you've been free for 100, there's a lot of things that has to be corrected. And our attitude towards education is one of them.
Yeah, because it's like back then, they couldn't get education or whatever because they could risk getting killed just for knowing how to read. Now you're so-called free. And the thing is, you don't want to read. You don't want to.
Free.
You can't say the Klan going to come get you for reading or getting a degree or the police or whatever. They even give you scholarships due to the fact of our suffering in this country, and you still don't want to do it. And then get mad at somebody who want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a process. You know what I mean? We have to just, you know, you always have to strive for perfection. You know what I mean? You always have to keep that strive going. But we, I think, as a people, just definitely have to understand where we're still progressing out of that dark place. You know what I mean? We're still coming along as a people. We're still fixing, you know, healing our wounds, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? And definitely with shows like this where we can even begin to address these issues, that's all a part of the healing. You know what I mean? That's all a part of the addressing and the dealing with it and figuring out ways to move forward. You know, and I definitely think that'll happen, but, you know, we're still in that process, brother.
Well, see, this, my thing is this, and you was talking about, you know, yes, we have been through a lot in this country as, you know, African-American, black people, whatever you want to call us, a new flavor of the month, because we change it up so much. But it gets to a point that we got to say, okay, we got to put our foot down and say, well, we're going to sit at the status quo, because being uneducated and being dumb as possible, it's the status quo nowadays. Give an example. Like, you want to be a thug or a hood rat, it's a good thing in our community. It isn't marginalized, it isn't shunned, anything. And the people who are doing something with themselves, educating themselves, you know, having a family, doing what they're supposed to do, they are pushed to the back burner. That's the biggest thing I think that we need to change. Is like, how do we go from having the strongest family unit in America to where we at today?
Well, I mean, you know, you got to look at when you say having the strongest family structure in America. I mean, you know, we have to think about what particular time can you actually say that we had that. You know what I mean? Like when we was brought here, our families were purposely torn apart. You know what I mean? Purposely torn apart. So now we're still, you know, this is 2013. We're still looking at single parent households. You know, we're still looking at grandmothers raising the babies the same as when. You know what I'm saying? You was a slave, and the next thing you know, your mom shipped here, your dad shipped here, the old lady that can no longer be in the field, she's raising you, you know what I mean? Grandma's still raising the babies. You know, we still have all of these issues in our community, that we still have to deal with, that we still have to fix. And then we're talking about these kids in the community. Where, you know, where are they learning from? You know what I'm saying? If a young man, if a young man, dad is a thug and his mom is a thug, you know what I'm saying? The chances are he's going to be a little thug. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's happening in our community. You know, these kids have, like you said, like the young lady was talking about, mentors. Look at the mentors that our kids have in the communities nowadays. You know what I mean? Dad's locked up or gone, you know what I'm saying? Mom's, you know what I mean, dealing with all types of issues, whether it's another baby dad or just trying to keep the lights on or raising some child, you know what I mean, that's as strong as a man, you know what I'm saying, even though he's a little boy. And, you know, all of those issues, you know what I'm saying, those are all of the things that tear apart our community. Those are all of the things that we have to address. And, you know, it's a process, man. It's really a process. But I think there's a lot of issues that we don't specifically talk about, and things just keep happening.
Okay. What is one of those issues that we do not talk about?
Well, you know, we don't specifically talk about what actually happened to the black family. You know what I mean? And I think that a lot of people say, well, you know, whatever happened to the black family already happened, let's deal with today. You know what I mean? And I think, well, if we don't talk about what specifically happened to the black family and why and how it was torn apart, then we'll never be able to fix the problem, because it's not fixed. You know what I'm saying? If it's 2013, we're still talking about, yo, why is the black family like this? Obviously, it's a problem that hasn't been fixed yet. So now it's like, okay, what happened to it? All right, you know what I'm saying? Well, our family was torn apart during these slave eras. You know what I'm saying? Well, how? Okay, so your mom, you know, like, we need to talk about that and talk about, okay, so what happened to the black family as a result of that? You know what I mean? That starts a different conversation. You know what I mean? When is the last time that you actually heard a discussion about that? You know what I mean? Everybody says, okay, what happened? But what happened after that? Did the kids start raising the family? You know what I mean? What actually was the results of that? And that's an example of some of the things that we don't talk about. And being that we don't discuss that, then we bring it back to, like I said, we bring it back to 2013. Now we're just looking at the results of things that we never talk about. And these are the results. We're looking at the results of actions. You know, it's cause and effect. Nothing just happens. We're looking at the effects of a particular cause here. Right?
I agree. No, I agree with everything you're saying. Yes. What I meant by one of the strongest families, that, believe it or not, back in, let's say, the Civil Rights Movement, our families were strong. You didn't have no single-parent households. You had black men and black women married. You didn't have all that. Single-parent households was very small. Our family stayed together 40 and 50 years. I have family members like my grandmother, great-grandfather, who stayed together until they died. People even before them, okay? And I know, this is my opinion, what I've noticed, when it came to the generation of my mother and when it came to the generation of feminism and welfare, to me, in my opinion, that's what broke us up worse than anything. Because even during, yes, I know we were sold all over the place during slavery. But once we got out from being slaves, we actually still stuck together in our family units, unless the man was killed or something would happen to our family due to the Klan hurting our people. Okay?
Exactly.
So
that's exactly the point.
So my problem is this. It's like when feminism came in, and I'm sorry, our sisters were hoodwinked with feminism, because feminism was not for them, because they, you know, wasn't put down by us. We would never even be in a position to have our foot on their necks. We suffered together. We hung together. We were slaves together. Okay? So when that happened, and that, I feel all that was done by design to destroy our family unit, because remember, everybody fought together as a family. Malcolm X had a wife, children, family. Martin Luther King had wife, children, family. All these guys, Marcus Garvey, all these people had strong family units. And I feel the fear is, especially us as black men, having a good, strong family unit that can support us, support our dreams, keep us going. If you could break that up, you could break a man down. Just think about it. A woman can make you feel like Superman. She can, to do things that you think you couldn't do. How many times you think Martin and Malcolm talk to their wives, possibly you want to give up?
Right, and but understand, when you say Martin and Malcolm, you're still talking about broken families, right? You know, when you talk about Martin, he was murdered. When you talk about Malcolm, he was murdered. You're still talking about families that are missing the fathers in those families. When you talk about Malcolm,
For those two men, yes, they were killed, unfortunately.
Right.
But I'm talking about their life. During their lifetime, when they was a living, okay, that family unit was good and strong. Even the people that got in to help them, you know, it was like strong men who was, you know, good men. I mean, the pictures are all over the place. Women, I still feel our family unit was together. It wasn't perfect. Don't get me wrong. We suffered a lot. Yes, we have suffered a lot in this nation. But our family unit is that today. It's like slavery all over again, and yet we was not put in no type of chains or bondage. And it's like, if you pay attention, brother, when it got to the 2000 era, it's like it got worse.
I mean, you know, I don't know if it got worse as it got more visible. You know, I think that, you know, once black people came out of slavery, you know what I mean, we had to stick together, and culturally, we come from that type of environment. You know, we come from a place where family was the most important thing. Our family networks, that's where the, you know, the saying, or it takes a village to raise a family, it's just because that's how we got down. But I think that, you know, that thing that power that tore up the black families when we got here, once we started to get ourselves together after slavery, you saw things like Rosewood happen. Even though you saw the movie, there's 1,000 Rosewoods that happened. You saw the Black Wall Street getting tore up. You saw mass, you know, black men starting to go to jail. You start to see all of these techniques that continue to break up the family. So even though, you know, you have us as a culture, all we know is family. So if you leave us alone, then yeah, you know what I mean, we're going to stick together and we're going to begin to thrive and we're going to begin to do our thing again. But that never quite took off, you know what I mean, because every time, you know, we got to the point where it's like a community was established, and then that community started to get itself together to the point where a Black Wall Street came, then it was destroyed. You know what I'm saying? Once the community where all of the black fathers in the neighborhood, you know, you had all of these positive black families, and now they're working two jobs and sending their sons to college, and, you know, that thing is beginning to happen. And now all of these black men is getting locked up. You know what I mean? So we never got specifically to the point where, in my opinion, you know what I'm saying, where the black family we was able to just establish this dominance, you know what I'm saying, within our community. Because something always happened by design, whether it was mass incarceration, whether it was liquor stores being put, whether it was cocaine being pushed, whether it was, you know, these school systems being crazy unfair, you know what I mean? Whatever it was, is something that has always happened. And once again, you know, that goes back to the question, what happened to the black family?
Now, do
what
you
happened?
Think...
Huh?
Now I got a question. You think, in your opinion, do you think some of our people are literally indoctrinated with the Willie Lynch letter?
Well, you know, the Willie Lynch letter, when you say indoctrinated, do you mean that I think that they're just mentally, you know, they're just messed up and they're living their life according to everything that was written in that Willie Lynch letter? Is that what you're asking me?
Now, basically what I'm asking you is this. There are some of our people that literally keep that letter going. For instance, they like to play possible dark against light. Or like
right.
to play the male against the female. Or like to play the old against the young. And they constantly do this. Or they'll try to destroy each other. All this other stuff. The Willie Lynch letter. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I know you've seen some of our people like that.
Yes. Yeah, of course. Of course. I mean, and you know, that's by design. Even when you talk about the Willie Lynch letter, the deep thing about the Willie Lynch letter is there was never actually a person named Willie Lynch. And I'm actually, you know, the letter, and you know this because if you look at the language in the letter, it doesn't fit the time that they say it was written, which means that there's a different group of people that put all of this information together, which means that there was a study done. You know what I mean? Which makes that letter even deeper, especially when you look at everything that's going on today. We still have a problem between, you know, light-skinned brothers and dark-skinned brothers. You know what I'm saying? And it's not just here. It's not just in the States. It's not just in America. You know what I mean? You go to the islands, man, it gets real deep. So it's, you know, it happened by design. So when you say, are there still people that who are live their lives under the influence or under some of the things that you read about in that letter? Yes, of course. But that's because that letter is not a joke. It wasn't written for that not to happen. You know what I mean? That was a plan. You're looking at a plan that's written out. And now you're looking at the effects of the plan saying, oh, damn, you know what I mean? Oh, excuse my language, but you're looking at the effects of the plan saying, yo, these people are the same people that's described in this letter. Or you can say, are the same people that's described in this plan. You know what I mean? So, yes, there's people still indoctrinated, but is it their fault?
You can say yes and no, but Ms. Gabriella got a question for you.
Yes.
Okay, so what is the importance of learning about Black history? That seems to be something that we've been talking about.
For a Black person or for people in general?
For a Black person and then, you know, also for people in general, but...
Okay. Well, for a Black person... It's very important to learn about your history, your actual history, your actual culture. Number one, it raises your self-esteem level. Number two, if you learn about your people and your culture, then you'll have a different perspective of the people that we're stabbing and we're shooting. You know, then we'll be much more of a family unit because we'll have this information that connects us. You know, every group of people that lives in this country, they have that connection with their native land, and that connects them. That, you know what I mean, that forms them, that forms the group, the bond between them. So you'll have an Italian Day parade, you know, the Italians, they stick together, their group. You have the Germans, you know what I mean, they stick together, their group. You have the Chinese communities, they stick together. They have this pride, they have this lineage. When it comes to Black people, we kind of stop with slavery. You know what I mean? So now we don't look at each other like that. You know, we don't have this same connection. We don't look at our brothers in Jamaica and Haiti, you know what I'm saying, as the same group of people as us. We don't look at one another like we're all the same group of people that came from this same place. You know what I mean? So it's very important, in my opinion, to learn about your history and to learn about your heritage. It's good for your soul. And then for everybody else, you know, I think it's just good to learn history, period. You know what I mean? If you're another culture, you know what I mean, then it's good to learn the facts about your surroundings, or just to know the truth about the people that exist around you. You know, I think that's just good in general. Besides, we got to learn it, you know what I'm saying? So we're Black people. We go to school. We're learning about Britain. We're learning about England. We're learning about all of these cultures. We're learning Greek philosophy. We're learning about who Plato was, you know what I'm saying? We're learning all of this history about other cultures. So it's only right that we be respected as a people and be one of those cultures that's studied along with the rest of them and not just in February.
Okay, I got a call from Miss Kylene. Bring her in on the show. Miss Kylene, you on the show?
Hi, how you doing? How you doing, Larry?
I'm Kylene?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? Good to talk to you.
I listened to your show. Very interesting show. And I was just thinking about, you know, the issues that you were talking about. In regard to us as a people, it seems that we are the only people that put our hands in, you know, other people's, you know, put our children in other people's hands to teach them and to educate them. It's like the same people that put us in slavery and did the things they did. And if you look at the book called Without Sanctuary, you see some of the children that were watching the lynchings and all the different things that were going on with our people. And those are the adults that are teaching our children today. And, you know, as long as you don't see the Jews sending their children to the German school, And you don't see, you know, they educate their own children. The Chinese educate their own children, and everybody educates their own children. So, and we're the ones that, you know, we're so proud to have our children go to other people's school. But other people's not so happy to have our children in their school. So what is that doing to our children psychologically? And also, as you were talking about, you know, history and the different cases in which, you know, everybody learns about their own history and their own culture and stuff like that, but our children don't, it's like if you are in a room and you take a picture and you show somebody the picture, the first thing that they look for in the picture is themselves. If you see yourself in the picture is interesting. But if you don't see yourself in the picture, it's like, oh, what's he showing me that picture for? I don't know them people in there. So a lot of times our children, because they don't get a chance to see themselves in the picture in these educational system and the school system that we have, especially here in New York, it's ridiculous. Our children, you know, even if you have any school teachers and principals and stuff that's real conscious about the issue, you know, they have to put up a real big fight. There's a brother here in New York that was a principal, and he was really starting to bring hip the children music that was like educational music and music about themselves and stuff like that. And they gave him, you know, really, really a hard time, and they ended up firing him. And I mean, the children's grades and everything went up so high because of what he was doing in the school. But, you know, the powers that be didn't like it. They didn't like that, and they didn't like the idea of them really teaching black history and black culture and really giving the children things that were motivating them to want to learn, to want to educate themselves and stuff like that. A lot of times when you send your children to schools where the people think less of you than what you really are, then they don't put the same type of effort into training you. And then another thing is if I see it as being counterproductive, if I'm a white teacher and you are a black parent, you bring your child to me, and I see that your child is much more advanced than my child, then it's not in my best interest to really give your child the best education. It's not in my best interest. He's going to grow up and be my child's boss. So that's some of the things that I see.
Well, sister, we got to demand that sort of thing. And I'm going to tell you the difference. And I got a son. And it makes a world of a difference, and they respect you a little different when they see the father shows up at that schoolhouse. I'm telling you, and I've had teachers actually come up to me and say, you know, you're one of the rare fathers I ever see come up to the school to check on, you know, your child. And, you know, I mean, one time this one teacher was so happy to see me. She was grinning from ear to ear because just me sitting there, I told my son, if you don't act right or you're not getting your work, it's going to be a problem. And to have more fatherly involvement in the kid's life. And see, you know, I also had this kid one time call my daughter at school a nigger, okay? I went up to that school, and I sat right down with him. I said, I'm not accusing y'all of saying that or teaching that to the children. Obviously, that boy got that from his house somewhere. But I want to know what's going to be done about it right now, because I do not send my children to school to hear that or be called that. And then they're like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't mean... We didn't mean that to happen. We're going to talk to them, this and the other. And, yeah, they call the parents right there, you know, in there, put them on blast. Okay, basically,
One of the things that I want to say about that issue is that you found out that your child was, that was said to your child. What about the stuff that you don't find out is said to your child? And I want to tell an incident with me because I have two daughters, and both of my daughters are 7 years apart. And my oldest daughter, when she was in the seventh grade, she got a lesson in school concerning Malcolm X. And she goes to a mixed school, you know, integrated school and all of that. And she was given a lesson that she had to read and, you know, answer the questions on the back. And the Board of Education took that paper back with them. But she knew that it was something wrong with what was on the paper. So she came home and told me. But my daughter was raised in the Nation of Islam. So she immediately recognized that it was something wrong with that lesson. And I went to the school when I found out, and they said, well, we're giving these children these lessons based on, you know, we want a multicultural education. I said, well, where is this information coming from? because this information is very offensive and it's very insulting to us, and you are insulting my child by giving this information that is improper and is incorrect information. And they said, well, it came from the Board of Education. Now, there's a long story that goes along with that because I went down to the Board of Education. But remember that her sister was 7 years younger than her. And her sister, when her sister was in the 11th grade, the sister got the exact same piece of paper. Now, first of all, why are you giving an 11th grade student information that her 7th grade student got like 12 years ago? You understand? So, you know, it's not only the idea that, you know, they can't call your child a name or something like that. What they're instilling in the psyche of that child in your absence, and your child doesn't know there's nothing wrong with it. All the other children in the class, because they're not raised in the Nation of Islam, they had no idea that there was something wrong with their information. But both of my children knew, and so both of my children brought it to my attention, and I got a chance to go to the school and address it. You know, so, but it let me know that most of the children don't even know when they're getting bad information or they're getting information that's detrimental to their future, when they're being steered away from educating themselves and loving education. And, you know, they'll be being told all sorts of things that we don't know because we're not there. We need to educate our own children. We don't need to put our children in anybody else's hands because we want the best for our own children, and we know what's best for our children, and we are the ones that need to educate our own children. So we need to develop our own school system and everything, not fight them to get in their schools, no, make our schools the best that they could be. And then, you know, when our children, you know, rise, because, you know, the children that was in the South when it was a segregation did a whole lot better than the children in the North when integrated in the schools, and they had to fight. So they had to fight to even go into schools, and then they were mistreated the whole time. You know, they were talked about, and the children were picking on them, and then they grew up with all kinds of psychological effects from being having to go through that kind of trauma. It's like really trauma. And right now we're still in the same kind of predicament. We want our children to go to these schools, you know, integrated schools, because we're so proud to have our children there, but we don't know the psychological effect of them not wanting our children to be there and not wanting us to rise and stuff like that. They've been holding us down for a long time. But the only way that we rise is when we teach our own children. So that's what I'm saying. And I love what you're doing, Larry. Keep up the wonderful, wonderful work that you're doing.
Well, thank you, Miss Kylene. I say I appreciate all your words of wisdom.
Thank you.
Locke, let me ask you a question, brother. You agree with that about our kids going to the schools with, you know, people that's not of their community and they're not getting the proper representation of themselves?
Yes. Yes, I do. I mean, it's... You know, I think it's, you know, on the one hand, you know, my Aunt Colleen, I love you, Aunt Colleen. Glad you called in. You know, I haven't seen you in a while. Glad you're listening in. Can't wait to meet up with you. But let me just say this. You know, I think that, you know, on the one hand, we do need, you know, our people to be taught by people. You know, even when you say black teachers, you know, we need black teachers to teach, you know, black things, you know, like black history and, you know what I mean? So on the one hand, I understand, you know, you need your community to be taught by its own people. I definitely get that point. You know, on the other hand, you know, we also live in this country where as an American, and you know, I understand the problem that people have with this, but, you know, as an American, you expect to be able to have your child go into a school system and get, you know, a fair education. And I understand that that's not happening, but I understand that that's what you as an American, or we as an American, expect. You know, that's the expectations that we're trying to put onto these different school systems. You know, I think that's like the Malcolm X, you know, I mean, not the Malcolm X, the Martin Luther King, you know what I'm saying, dream. Like, you know, it's not just about integrating, it's about being looked at as an equal. But, you know, we definitely have this problem of you know, young, you know, the African American community being, you know, so disrespected in the academic world that, you know, it's just a crazy problem. You know, there's so many different aspects to the problem. It's not only education, it's them putting these young black boys in you know, special classes even though they're not special. You know what I mean? It's just a lot going on, man. It's a lot going on in our school systems.
Yeah, I've kind of heard that over there in the East Coast that, you know, y'all have some problems that we don't even have on the South when it comes to school. And I live in the South. Mm-hmm. I've heard some, like, worse commentary about the East Coast than I would say I would hear in Houston. Why
is that? I can tell you firsthand what it's like, but, you know, I'll let him say something.
Well, share it, because I don't know. I'm in Houston. I don't know.
Well, I mean, in my experience, especially with that No Child Left Behind stuff, there was so much that happened in school. Like, we didn't, I mean, this is the kind of thing you would expect in the South, but in a lot of the schools that I went to, especially the public school, unless you were paying to go to a charter school or you went to a public school, you really wouldn't be getting a good education. A lot of the teachers would kind of teach you just enough so that you can pass those statewide exams, but otherwise they didn't really seem interested in educating. And we would get, like, little, like, worksheets to color, and this was in high school. We would get, like, little maps to color, and we would, like, get worksheets and stuff that you would expect for someone to be getting in the fifth grade. This is what we'll be getting in our senior year of high school. And, you know, because of a lot of the policies that were in the school system, they would let a lot of people that were almost illiterate graduate because they were just trying to hurry up and push them out of the school system. So I think that it's important for parents to educate the children because the public school system isn't really the best way.
It takes a village to raise a child. You know what I mean? And when you're talking about the school systems, not only do we have all of these problems in the school systems, but, you know, how are we going to even begin to address them before we even address the family issues? We're not even together, and, you know what I'm saying, as the family that we need to be. And we're like, what are we going to do about these school systems because these teachers are not teaching us and all of this is happening to us and, you know, they're messed up school systems. If we didn't allow that as a community, you know what I'm saying, if we didn't allow that as a community and as a family, it wouldn't even be an issue. Oh, man, we have so many things we got to fix. But we're going to do it, though. You know what I mean? I don't want to say that in a pessimistic way. But I just know that we have a lot of issues.
Now, one of the main issues I think we have, too, and we talked about this on the show many, many times before, is that our, you know, young men priorities are so screwed up. They do not have the right priorities. They think that if they can just put on some 20s, if they can get some Jordans on their feet, they'll fight for them Jordans. They don't care. They think they have made it. Put some little chains around their neck, they made it. But yet, they don't have no education. They have no sustainable income. They don't know how to balance a checkbook or even have a bank account. You know, they don't know how to pay bills. They don't know anything about credit. They don't know nothing about finance. I mean, nothing. They don't know how to play the markets if they wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's you got to look at the fathers. You know what I'm saying? We're saying these kids, they don't. If there's nobody to teach them how they do that, how to do these things, they'll never learn. You know what I mean? If there's nobody to teach them how to be responsible, where are they going to learn it from? You know what I'm saying? If it's a 15-year-old kid having a son, you know what I'm saying? And now the son's 15 and the dad is 30, but he might be like, you know, there's just no place where these kids that are living in the harshest of communities, there's no mentors there. There's no teachers in the schools. There's no mentors in the community. You know what I mean? The people that they're learning from, you know what I'm saying, they are just duplicating what they're learning from the older generation. You know what I'm saying? They're just doing what they're taught. They're just surviving. You know what I'm saying? They're doing everything that they can do to survive, and they're doing everything in their community that they need to do in order to look like they belong to that community. So, you know what I mean? It's, you know, it's definitely our kids is wilding. But, you know, something has to be said about the generation that just pretty much left this generation to kind of fend for themselves.
I always said that black people were taught to survive, not thrive.
Well, you know, you're talking in this country, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, in this country. And I'm talking about the country while we at. I'm not talking about, because they got other parts of the world. Black people are totally different, but their family structure is like, if you have some conversation with some of my African brothers and sisters, you'll see their mindset is totally different, and their families are together, too.
Right.
So, and that's why I go back to family is a big thing. You know, it keeps you in intact. You have, I mean, having your mother and your father is, I mean, you need both. You can't just have one. In our community, we just have one, the mom. Mom can only do so much. You know, and our boys are suffering for not having fathers, because only that father can teach you really how to be a man and what would men go through. Now, your mama, yeah, she can teach you how to be a good person. She can teach you a lot. But she can't teach you how to be a man. And then the issue with our girls is not having a father around. They go on the street looking for these father figures. And they find them all right, but they will end up with two or three kids in the process. Instead of having a father around trying to show them the game, protect them, tell them.
I think it's the same between, you know, between men, these young boys and these young girls. You got mm-hmm. these young women looking for father figures, but you also got these young boys looking for mother figures.
You know what, man? Definitely. A long time ago, you brought something up, and it just dropped in my head. Remember that show, is it called Gangland, or whatever show it come on? And this one guy said that he looked up to the leader of the gang like his father, because he never had a father in his life.
Right.
He just respected him so much, because he saw he had money, he had power, he had this, he had that. He said, man, I just wanted to be like him so bad. I mean, it's like, and that's sad that some of our boys go on the street looking at gang members and drug dealers, you know, as father figures.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's by design. You know, you're talking about a group of people that since we arrived off the boat, the first thing that happened was ship the mother there, ship the father there, and leave the kids and separate the kids. You know what I mean? So it wasn't, you know, that it's been that from the door. You know what I mean? Even in different plantations where you have a slave couple getting married, as soon as, you know, somebody, the woman gets pregnant, it's okay, I know you a couple. The man, you're out of here. Leave. You know what I'm saying? So now you still have that seed. When you look at the community today, you see the same thing. You know what I mean? It's just we have technology and people are wearing different clothes, but the dude is still gone. You know what I'm saying? The family is still being destroyed. You're still having grandma raise the babies. You know what I mean? We still have the same structure. So, you know, these kids today, they don't have the role models, but we haven't addressed the splitting of the family yet. You know what I mean? So it's, you know what I'm saying, daddy's still gone. But, you know, it's, I think it's a process, man, and I think the more that people talk about it, and I think as time goes on, you know what I mean, then, you know, people will heal. But when you go through a system where the family was broken up on purpose and you haven't addressed those issues yet, then of course, you know, it's still going to be a crazy time that you're going to live in.
Now, Ms. Gabrielle, I got to ask you a question. In college, what'd you say, Ms. Gabrielle?
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay, now I'll say, let me ask you a question. In your college, are there more black women in college than black men?
Actually, well, I go to a black college. So,
oh, okay. Well, that's kind of
yeah. So there's
everybody black.
Yeah, everybody. Well, there's a handful mm-hmm. of other races, but I think it's only about 10 people. Like a couple of Latinos and, you know, some Caucasians, but for the most part, everybody is black, and seems to be a little bit more men than women, but the people that are actually on the valedictorians and the ones that are actually serious about school are the females. So that's something that I really don't understand, because a lot of these guys get in, like, you know, they have their parents push them to go to school and say, okay, you need to go to college, you need to go to college, and these guys will just kind of, they'll just get in there with a 2.0 and – because they're athletes, they'll be able to get in and kind of just maintain a 2.0 and graduate and be fine. And they don't really feel that it's important to really embrace that education. But the females at my school are the ones that are in the honor society. They're in the fraternities. They are, whenever there's a political event, those are the ones that are always there trying to make a difference. And that's something that kind of, that seems so strange, because it seems like we as black people just don't want to embrace the fact that we are not meant to be a female-dominated society. It's almost like the women run the show.
Do you agree with that a lot?
No, but, you know, I mean, I respect, you know what I'm saying, of course.
I mean, that's what's happening in my school. I'm not saying that's what happens all over the place. That's just what is happening here. And I don't think that a female-dominated society is something that is meant to happen, and that's why we as a community continue to fail, because we don't really have strong figures. I mean, we do have some, but for the most part, the majority of people don't have a strong male figure in the home, and that's why there's so many problems.
Well, okay, yes. Here's, first of all, let me say, I agree with what you're saying to be true. I just think that the reason behind it is not because of how we feel. I think that the reason behind it is because of everything that's going on with our people. So, you know, statistically, there's more women, black women in college than there are black men. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, and when you ask what's happening to the black men, you know, a lot of them are being locked up for, you know, all of the stuff that people know is happening to black men. You know what I'm saying? Those things that are happening by design, the mass incarcerations, the killings, the gang violence, you know, all of these things that's destroying, you know, the numbers as far as black men in the African-American community. And then at that point, you know, then there's a specific pool that you're already, you know, looking at that's actually making it into college. You know what I'm saying? If you already have this massive group that's being destroyed through gang violence and being locked up for petty crimes and all of the other trappings that society has for black men in particular, now you got a different group of people that you got to deal with that's in school. You know what I mean? Because the other group of people, they'll never get there. You know, they're not going to be there with you. So it's going to be a different environment, you know what I mean? It's not going to be a normal atmosphere. But I just think it's a result of the bigger problem that we're having, you know what I mean? And I don't particularly feel like it's how we feel as a people. I just think it's where we're temporarily at because of all of the things that has happened to us, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we have to, you know, we will, you know, just figure out a way to I lick the wounds and just go on. You know what I mean? Life goes on. But that's all I was disagreeing with. I wasn't trying to say that I disagree with anything that you were actually saying. I just felt like it's not something that we feel. It's just a product of something that has happened to us.
Okay. Well, let me ask you another question. Like, where I was raised, listen, my grandfather, grandmother, they went through the Civil Rights Movement. They went through all it. They've told me all the stories. I've even have it on my YouTube channel, my grandmother say how it used to be, okay? And one thing they told me, and it stuck with me, they said, son, always work hard, keep your nose clean, don't get involved with the wrong crowd, and always make something of yourself. No matter who say what, make something of yourself, okay? And it seems like today a lot of these kids don't have that determination to make something of themselves, and they even try to keep their nose clean, because the old people knew you don't want to get caught up in that man's system with prison. Because once you're in, you're in. They're going to make sure you stay in. I mean, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's, you know, some of us, you know what I mean, especially, you know, especially myself, you know what I mean, it's good when you have people around you that that can give you advice to steer you in a different direction, or at least contemplate a more positive direction of in life. But when you don't have it, you know what I'm saying, when there is nobody to give you any advice on anything positive, you know what I'm saying, like, and that is a reality. You know what I mean? When there's no one to tell you anything positive around you, period, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? That's going to affect the way you move. It's going to affect the information that you have. It's going to affect the decisions that you make. It's going to affect the outcome of your life, because it's going to start you off. It's going to be your foundation. So, you know, it's unfortunate that there's a lot of our brothers who are in that situation. You know what I mean? Where there's no one to tell them anything positive.
I get that, because, you know, there's a lot of brothers, a lot of young brothers especially, not older, and man, sometimes older, but a lot of young brothers, they, you know, be online, you know, looking for answers for just some simple, well, I say a simple life problems, but they really don't know. I mean, like, sometimes I have conversations with brothers about, you know, dealing with women, sometimes just, you know, with about career, just about just life issues. I mean, and it's something that, you know, you would think that, you know, this young dude should know from the crib. But, you know, they'll tell you, you know, man, I never had a father in my life. I never had, you know, somebody to tell me certain things. And I was talking with a dude today, and we was talking about, you know, situation with a female he was dealing with. And he wanted to see her playing games or doing this or doing that. And I was sitting here just, you know, sharing with him what I knew or whatever. And he was saying, man, it just amazes me that, you say, I'm hearing all this. And he said, I just never had my father to tell me anything about this. You know, and that's sad that these young brothers don't even know little simple things to life because they never had their father around. You know,
well,
so some,
I'm sorry to cut you off, but even if you have a man in the house, or even a, well, I'm not going to say a father, because just because someone is a man that's in the house is not your father, but a lot of people actually do have, you know, a man in the house that's married to their mother, you know, because to me, a father is somebody who raises you, not just somebody who births you. Like, a lot of these guys, even myself included, like, even though, like, sometimes it's really hard to have certain discussions like that with your parents. And so that's why a lot of people seek out mentors, because you're not going to, if you're a young person and you, you know, you have, like, a certain question, like, something that's really personal, like, you don't even want to talk to your parents about, like, if you are being pressured to have sex with someone. That's not something you want to talk to your parents about, because they might, you know, you might be afraid of what they might say, or you know, it could cause an argument, or there's so many things. And so that's why a lot of people seek out, you know, people like you, or people, you know, people out there in the community, because they want to be able to have that open dialogue, but it's not easy to talk to your parents about certain things.
Right. I mean, of course, you know, exactly right. But, you know, that's, hey, you know what I'm saying? Kids are always going to have a problem talking to their parents, especially when it's about being intimate before it's they're at an age where parents think they should be intimate at. That's never going to be a cool conversation. I got two daughters, you know what I mean? So, oh, man, just to even have a conversation about having a conversation about having a conversation is uncomfortable. So I, you know what I mean? I understand that aspect of it. But, you know, at the same time, there's no parents to teach the parents. You know what I mean? Like, we're spiraling down this cycle of the spiral of a broken family. So if, you know, for example, if there's the type of nucleus that raises, you know, a particular kind of male and female young lady, and now this young woman and young man, they know how to interact with their kids because how they're interacting with their parents, then you start to see a cycle exist. Then when those uncomfortable conversations come up, they know how to have them because they've had them with their own parents. It's not an unknown, difficult situation. They have a reference of what to do. But we're not seeing that right now because the family's broken. So there is no point of reference of, you know, how did I do this with mama? You know, how did they do that with us? How are we going to have this difficult? What should we do here? You know what I mean? There's no point of reference for us because our homes are broken, in my opinion. But at the same time, when you don't have those, you know what I mean, when you don't have those role models, when you don't have those situations because of something that happens to you, I think as a people, you're still going to figure it out. You know what I mean? There's still going to be a group of people. There's still going to be the next generation that understands that, you know, things are not the way they're supposed to be, and they'll do it the right way and start their own lineage, and you know what I mean? And so what I'm saying now is hopefully when I have this conversation or when I go through these, you know, these uncomfortable conversations with my kids, then hopefully my kids will then be able to have those conversations with their kids. You know what I'm saying? And that's big because that's how something starts. That's how something gets passed down through the family. That shows the importance of a family lineage. That shows the importance of why you should really know where you come from. You know what I'm saying? It shows the importance of that link, even from a small perspective, as having uncomfortable conversations.
Well, you know, kids, oh, man, raising kids in this day and time is a challenge. Trust me, I know. I got, you know, kids. I got a 14-year-old who's constantly changing. Oh, Lord, teenage stage. And then I got, you know, a 10-year-old as well. Well, did Kyra turn 11? I think she turned 11 this year. I think they did. Anyway, and they both got their own little personalities, I tell you. But, you know, being a dad in this day and time isn't easy at all. It really isn't. You got so much coming at your kids. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, man. It's, you know, it's a crazy world we live in, you know, and kids are fair game to the powers that be. So they're going to get, you know, they're going to get attacked from all angles. That's an actual quote from, like, you know, marketing. I don't remember who said that, but it was like, kids are fair game. And, you know, they're going to get attacked from a variety of levels, not even just their friends. They're going to have to deal with their friends, and they're going to have to deal with this media. They're going to have to deal with what's on the radio. They're going to have to deal with what's on television. You know what I mean? There's a lot more that the younger generation has to deal with, because as time goes on, we become closer. You know what I mean? People are closer to touch. The internet and telephones and things like that, people are more accessible. And because of that, you know, the influence that anybody can have on your family becomes a lot more immense.
Yeah, and, you know, like sometimes, you know, even look at, like, so I have a son as well. You know, he's 8 years old, and shoot, he's going to be 9 this year. That's crazy. He's going to turn 9. But anyway, you know, you still got, you know, so many, you know, things coming at you, even your sons, you know, because, you know, at one point in time, so I always had to worry about my daughters, but now you got to worry about your son.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I think you got to worry about your kids, period. You know what I mean? Daughter or son. You know, it's just worry about everybody. It's no different when they coming for them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I definitely, you know, agree with that. Now, Ms. Gabriella, let me ask you a question. When using high school, you know, what came at you being a young lady? She's still on the line. Ms. Gabriella, still on the line? I see you.
Yes, I am. I was having my line was acting up. But in high school, there was a lot of pressure to start doing drugs, and there was pressure to sleep around. There was pressure to, you know, go out and get tattoos and piercings and things like that. Like, I was, by the time I was about 16, most of the girls in my school, they were pregnant or they had, you know, they were tatted up looking like the subway in Harlem. Like, their whole bodies were covered in tattoos. They would have piercings all in their face. And there was one particular girl in my high school that was 18, and she had 4 children already.
What?
And so, yeah, like I went to my high school is pretty hood, so that's the kind of things that I was faced with, and there was a lot of pressure to be that way. And because I refused to conform to that way of life, I was picked on a lot because I was like, you know, I'm not trying to mess my life up already. I'm only like 14, 15 years old. I don't need to be having kids yet. And that was more socially acceptable. If you're not having children, you know, you have to be going around sleeping with all the guys in the football team, or you have to, like I had been invited to go out and, you know, to get high a couple of times, and there would be people coming to class high on drugs. Like, there was so many things, there was even another incident where there was somebody who was having sex in the bathroom, and then there was another incident where somebody was drinking in the bathroom, and we were only, 14, 15 years old, and, you know, these kind of things are, it seems crazy, but these are just my experiences in school. And so, like, I was surprised. Like, I had no idea how someone even that young would even be thinking about things like that. But because I had a good family unit, I didn't fall victim to that. But a lot of people, they kind of looked for that acceptance from their peers. And so they will be willing to do anything.
Now, Locke, let me ask you a question, bro. Are you married?
Yes.
How long have you been married?
10 years.
Oh, well, congratulations, brother.
Thank you.
Oh, so since you and your wife is a team, I know you're everything together as a team. You got to, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. So when you told her about your dream and everything you're trying to do, what was beneficial that she did or said to make you just, like, propel to do, you know, what you do a lot more?
Well, I mean, you know, she's my business partner. So, you know, you need you know, I think you need somebody that you can work with on every level, especially when you're dealing with the person that you're spending the rest of your life with. Of course, you know, you're not going to agree on everything, but you have to be able to work with somebody and have that person support you. So just to have that type of person, that's, you know, that's all that's needed.
Now, are y'all together on, like, everything, like, in your thought processes about the community, like your children? I mean, do y'all differ in any major area, or y'all just constantly together on everything?
Nah, I mean, you know, there's no, you know, I'm a man, she's a woman. Of course, we're going to differ, you know. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. But, yeah, you know, we're together, but we are our own, we have our own perspectives. You know what I mean? So, yeah, we're a unit, we're a team. We, you know what I'm saying? We move in the same direction. But, you know, I don't think there's any couple, period, that's going to, you know what I'm saying, agree 100% with everything that the other person thinks, man. You married?
Yo, yes, I am. I am married. This is my actually second time being married.
You already know.
Huh?
So you already know.
Yeah, I also see my ex-wife, I was married to about close to 10 years, and then with my current wife, just a little over a year. So,
oh, well, you know, congratulations for the year.
Yeah, yeah, man. Like I said, it's all good, but I know the game, you know, being married and like, you know, it's trust me, it has to be a partnership, because in my first marriage, I had a lot of issues due to that. You know, not being together, not, you know, saying, you know, we are a team doing, you know, it has a big difference on your relationship when you got a woman that's easy to, you know, get along with, a woman that's easily going to, you know, help you propel to the next, you know, level, wherever that may be.
Yeah, you know.
Because
I
always say women can make you go up or down real easy.
Definitely. I mean, well, you know, I think as a person, you know, and I say this especially, you know, being a father with two daughters, you know, it definitely has helped me look at things differently. But I think a person is responsible for whatever happens in their own life. You know what I'm saying? And as a man, you know, you can't blame anybody else on what happens to you but you. And as a woman, you know what I'm saying, is, you know, it comes down to you. And that's just, you know what I mean, my own personal thing, man. If there's somebody in your life and they bring you down, and you know what I'm saying, you definitely have to readjust your life, because you only got one life to live. You know what I mean? That's all you got. So you can't live it to, you know what I'm saying, be uncomfortable or do things that doesn't make you feel right. And, you know, at the same time, I'm not saying be an arrogant or selfish person, but can't let nobody bring you down and then blame them for you being down. You know, that's just not, you know what I mean, not something I get with. And that's hard. It's, you know what I mean? I'm not saying it like it's something easy to do, but it's how it has to be.
Now, do you agree with the statement? Because this is something I firmly believe in, and this is something that I did not do a whole lot of in my first marriage. I believe that a married couple should always stay dating. Do you agree with that?
Stay what?
Dating. Like, don't start going out to eat, you know, having date night. In other words, you're still going out. You still do everything you did when you was, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend. You still need to do it as a couple being married. Because, you know, as a married couple, you got kids, bills, you got, you know, the job, you got all this different stuff going on. And, you know, sometimes it'll choke your relationship out if you don't watch it. Because you're not really spending quality time with each other like you should. You're just kind of having a business of a relationship, but not having a relationship. You get what I'm saying? I mean, so you agree with that?
I think you got to live, you know. I think you have to live. Whatever that consists of, you know what I'm saying? If you know what I mean, for some people, they might want to, you know, stay home and watch movies and eat popcorn and ice cream on the couch together. You know what I'm saying? Some people, they might want to go out, you know what I mean, have lobster and steak. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's to each his own. But I think you got to live. Whatever it is that allows you to live life and be happy with it, that's what you got to continue to do. And if it's going out on date night to, you know what I'm saying, if that's what you consider it, you know what I mean, that's what makes you, what tickles your soul, you know what I'm saying, with your mate, then cool, that's what you got to do. But it's really important that you don't walk around living, but, you know what I'm saying, not really feeling alive.
You got a question?
Yes, I do. What kind of things do you think is important for a couple to have a successful marriage? Like I'm not asking for a huge answer, but, you know, it's a couple of tips.
Let me see. I'd say, you know, communication, respect, love. You know, I think you have to be with the person that you just like being with. You know what I'm saying? There's really no rules. There's absolutely nothing that's set in stone that makes something work, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? I think that you have to like that person. You know what I mean? You got to love that person. You got to think that person is cool. You got to have a great time with that person. And, you know, y'all got to build from there, because everybody's so different. You know what I'm saying? Human beings are different people. We are different creatures from one person to the next. So there's, you know, in my opinion, there's no set of rules that will universally work. But if, you know what I mean, you guys find that unique thing that keeps you close, that you know what I'm saying, that fuels your fire, you know, whatever that thing is that attracts you to them, whatever the thing that attracts you, you know, vice versa. Once you figure that out, man, just keep at it. Because saying anything will not work for the next person.
I know that to be true. But you know what? Also, brother, this is something else that I've noticed, that when you have a good relationship with your spouse like you have, it definitely filters down to your children, and your children will learn from that. Like, your daughters will learn, okay, this is how a man's supposed to treat a woman, and this is how, you know, a woman's supposed to treat a man, based off of the example in real relationship, and how you're teaching your daughters to, you know, be, you know, possibly a good wife one day.
Yes. Yes, and that's, you know, that's a very, very powerful thing. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, it's not to be underestimated. You know, the power of, you know, being an example, you know, because it sets the structure of your community. You know what I mean? Because it sets the tone for the people that's going to help you build your community, especially when you're talking about how these young children are to conduct themselves in society. You know what I mean? So now that I'm a responsible husband and black man in my household, that gives my daughters an example, you know what I'm saying, from the door of what to expect from a black man. You know what I'm saying? It's a certain standard. It's like, okay, you know what I'm saying? He has to at least be where my dad's at. You know what I mean? If it's not that, then it's strange. You know what I'm saying? But if that's not happening in the black community, man, it causes all types of problems. It causes, like the sister was saying, she knows the young lady with four kids. You know what I mean? That says something about the house that she was raised in. You know what I'm saying? It says more about, It says a lot about the community that she's coming. It says a lot about us. You know what I mean? It says a lot about us. But at the same time, you know, all the thing that we have to do in order to address that is look at what's going on, be responsible, have it start within our own houses, and take it from there.
Okay, well, you know what, Locke, you know, like I said, man, I thank you so much for joining the show tonight. You kicked a lot of knowledge for the show. Trust me, you did, bro. And like I said, I want you to continue being a great husband, great father, and an inspiration to the kids. Because you're part of the solution. Because we all like to talk about the problem, but we're not talking about the solution or doing anything to help with some solution. So, you know, I'm glad that, you know, you're doing the solution. I'm glad that you actually, you know, came by and would definitely kick some knowledge for us. And, you know, you want to let everybody know, you know, what you're doing before you wrap up the interview?
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me just say that, you know, once again, man, the album is available on iTunes. The album is available on Amazon. The website is smart-hiphop.com. We're on Twitter at Smart Hip Hop, Facebook at Smart Music Entertainment. The YouTube channel is Smart Hip Hop Music. If anybody listening is out here on the West Coast, I will be performing at the Pyramid Stem Showcase in Philly next Saturday. And, you know, it's definitely a family event. You know, just bring your whole family out and go to the website to find out more information about it. Also, I want to say, man, thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate, you know, venues like this where we get to talk about issues and I also get to play my music and you expose me to the audience that's listening to your show. You know, more independent companies and artists like myself really need things like this. So big ups to you and kudos for that.
Oh, sure, brother. Thank you for coming by and just, you know, sharing time with us. You know, we definitely appreciate you coming. And, you know, I wish you success in all your endeavors.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it, brother. Same here.
All right. You have a great night, brother.
You too.
All right. So, Ms. Gabriella.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's going on? We got 26 minutes left on the show. And, man, I want to address something. I need to talk about something. I was on during the show, like I said, shout out to Locke for joining us, kicking us some knowledge. I got a message from a lady on my fan page by the name of Sharon Jefferson. And I'm going to read it. And she says, Mr. Advice Show, I'm a huge fan of yours, and I just found out about you and Homeboy. Now, when I say Homeboy, most people who listen to me know who I'm talking about. I usually don't refer to that person's name for a lot of reasons. And they said that, you know, his, let me tell you about Homeboy and his informative videos, and I like yours as well. But I do not want you to be upset because I admire what you do also, perhaps at more times. Well, since I'm a major fan of yours, I thought I sent him a message saying, leave you alone. And I told him, you guys should call it the truth and get along. Because I don't want to see two black men arguing over internet beef. You guys are both intelligent black men, and I'm sure you two are better than that. Now, I'm in support of you guys both, and I'm trying to get you guys to stop because I care about my black men and them doing well. Both of you guys are trying to deliver a message to the black community so they can change right and do better. Well, you and Homeboy should make a good example for black men. Because there's too many black men out on the street dying over internet fights. or losing their career behind internet beef. I hope I didn't upset you, and I don't want you to delete me from your Facebook because I like what you do and what homeboy does. And again, I sent him a message telling him to stop, and I will talk to him on his show about it tonight. It's really yours and his decision to stop this madness. I just wanted to tell you my whole thought on the issues you guys have with each other. And I admire and care about you guys' work so much I wrote this message to you and one to him. Thank you, Mr. Advice Show, and I enjoy your videos. You make good points, and I'm still your fan. I just hope you can forgive me for writing this. Well, Miss Sharon Jefferson, I'm going to address that. I'm not upset with you at all. I mean, you didn't do anything. You wrote me very respectfully. You did. I mean, what is there to get upset about? And I'm not going to block you from my page. Anytime I block somebody from any of my pages, it's always because they were being disrespectful in some way, form, or fashion to me. Either they were cursing me out, slick dissing, or getting involved with things that has nothing to do with them. So when it comes to any issue between me and homeboy, I do not want to hear 80 million voices talking about it to me. Okay? That's how I take it. So don't come over here repeating things. Or I don't want to hear that. Now, my position on the whole thing, no matter what he says, I have really nothing against the guy. I don't know the guy. I really don't. Never met him at all. The last time I spoke with the guy, the conversation ended on, hey, man, if you need my help, I'll help you. And I felt the same way about him. That was how I ended the conversation. Then all this mess starts saying I did this and I did that. I ain't done a thing to the dude. Don't have that kind of time. I have no reason to. You get what I'm saying? He doing him, I do me. That's it. I don't care what he says or whatever. He has his right to say what he wants on his channels or whatever he got to do. And I stated that before, it's no reason for me to mess with him because it benefits me. If he, all the mess that he's doing is still benefiting me. Believe it or not, it is. So why would I want to mess with him? Now, he's accusing me of messing with his website. I don't know why he would accuse me of that, because if you can prove something like that in court, that's criminal behavior. I don't play that kind of stuff. That's first of all, and I'm not no internet nerd to do that. Care less. I got family. I got kids, and I walk the straight and narrow path because I got to be there for, you know, my kids and my wife. All this stuff online is what it is. It's online. It don't make a sense. But I agree with the letter. It doesn't make sense for black men to do this because, I get a lot of messages like Sharon sent me saying, hey, you guys don't need to be doing this. I'm like, but what do you see me doing back? That's what I'm saying. What do you see me doing back? I'm not saying nothing. I'm not even calling his name. I'm not cussing him out. I'm not doing anything. I will not do that. He can make all the videos he wants. He can create all the YouTube channels he wants and about me or impersonate me, whatever. Fine. I have no problem with that. I'd like to say, I'm not mad at the guy whatsoever. I really take it as a compliment if you're trying to parody me in some way, some form, or fashion. Because, hey, I guess I made it. If you're parodying me now, I guess. I don't know. That's how I'm going to look at it. But, like I said, it ain't no hard feelings with me and the guy at all. But the treasure trolling, like I said, I've been Mr. Block for the past 2 days, and my finger ain't tied. So I will block every account that comes to my page talking crap. Now, Ms. Gabriella, have you seen all the comments that's been coming to my page talking crap?
Yeah, I have, and I'm disliking your videos, even if it's a positive message. It's like they just come to just the block. So, I mean,
yeah.
I don't really want to comment on this because I don't want to be targeted for no reason.
Yeah, and that's sad. It's like you can't. Nobody can make an opinion about anything, or they get targeted. You know, it's like because some people can't deal with that treasure trolling. Me, I can. Like I said, I don't answer them. I don't deal with them. Like I said, I was talking to my marketing consultant this morning, and, you know, she was telling me about the same thing that she had dealt with. And she said, look, just do your thing, go about your business, whatever. People going to talk or what, you know what I'm saying? But my thing is this. You know, black women are blamed for a whole lot of things. Black women are horrible. Black women this, black women that. But you know who doing all the treasure trolling? You know who doing it? Black men. Isn't that strange? I thought it was black women's trait. Won't leave you alone. Keep harassing you. Keep messing with you. I thought black women did that. But I keep seeing guy after guy after guy after guy after guy. And it's like, you know, it's a funny thing also in the black community is you don't know how to separate, you know, fantasy from reality. I found that out, too. It's like we take what people say literally and come up with this. He's real. He's fake. He's this. She's that. Like, who cares? You're a vlogger. You got your own personal life. Nobody cares about that. You get what I'm saying, Ms. Gabrielle, on some of this stuff? Like, it's kind of like, just in our community, I noticed that we got this problem talking about real and fake. That'd be like, white people be looking at Ozzy Osbourne like he's a true devil worshiper, but yet Ozzy Osbourne had a show called The Osbournes, and he was a regular family man. He had a wife, children, everything, and nobody, no white people that love him came out and said, oh, he's fake, he's not a devil worshiper, he's a married man, he's this, he's that. They don't do that. Other communities don't do that. But us, we always try, and that's why we get rappers in trouble, trying to prove what they say in music is how they live. And a lot of them don't. That's what get Rick Ross in trouble right now for running off at his mouth. People are, if somebody's, they say anything that he says in his videos, he says his opinion, that's it, you cut it off. You don't like it, you whatever, you go on by your business. You get what I'm saying? It'll mean somebody real, somebody fake. You don't know that unless you live with the person every day. Only their family know if they're real or fake. Because, you know, you interact with them. Now, during this conversation, I've been having, seeing a call. Like I said, I'm going to answer it. Now, if this call gets out of pocket, like I said, I'm going to end it. But, you know, and if it's something I choose not to answer, I choose not to answer. It's just that simple. But I'm going to let the call in. Area code 702, you're on the show.
I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Anyway, so Ms. Gabrielle, like I say, it's sad that, you know, that stuff going on. But like I said, hey, he can continue to do what he want to do. That's how I look at it. You know, is that simple? Like I said, I'm gonna continue to do what I do, whether it's agreed with or not. Because, you know, being online is about having fun. It's about fun. I mean, it's not all about this fighting and all this other stuff. And like I said, it ain't going to be no response from me. It's not. This is about the most you'll get out of me is on my show. Because it's not a good example anyway. I mean, there's a whole lot of things you could be talking about to black men, black people, whoever you want to try to talk to about. I mean, do you really want to show them just that you cannot get along, even if you don't if you disagree for some reason, you know, then you say, look, I don't agree with the person. I go by my business. That's it. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, that's really my position. Sharon, like I said, I have nothing personal against the guy. I don't care what videos you make. I still ain't got nothing personal against the guy. I mean, you know, it's the internet. That's how I look at it. It's no big deal. All the time I start getting personal about anything unless it's brought to my household where I live or anything that's about with my family, then I got a problem with it. Other than that, you know, because you can't take somebody talking about you, and you don't need to be on anything considered public at all if you can't take nobody saying something, because somebody always going to say something about you that you do not like or you do not agree with, period. Kind of like, for example, them Kardashian girls. Every 5 minutes you go to the grocery store, somebody talking crap about it, all three of them, they got to deal with it. Or any other person that gets in the public eye in some way, form, or fashion, they have to deal with it. So I have to deal with it. You know, he has been one of many in my life that said things to me that I may not agree with. But it's fine. I can care less about it. Really, I do. But, you know, but the thing is, I wanted to address Ms. Sharon Jefferson about it. Like I said, that's my opinion, sister, on the whole thing. You know, it's funny or whatever. I mean, for even him creating a parody character, I thought it was funny. You know, I thought it was very funny. I give him that. It was funny to me, but I'm not mad at him. I mean, if you can't laugh at yourself or laugh at somebody teasing you, then, I mean, why are you so, uptight? You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, y'all, that's my position, but it won't be on the YouTube video. But anyway, Ms. Gabriella, you know, I mean, it's people, you know, always, you know, telling me that stuff. And like I said, it's I don't know. I mean, what's your small opinion on it? Like I said, but if somebody tries to troll you, I mean, that would be stupid. But anyway,
I have my own. I mean, I'm not even in the same type of category because the kind of community that I'm in online isn't even related to, you know, the black issues and, you know, the stuff that you guys talk about. What I talk about is more of, like, Japanese fashion and things like that. And there are so many trolls. You know, I've had, you know, there's a certain person that goes out of their way to stalk and harass people. They, there's this website that they have where people just post up pictures of each other and bash each other and make fun of each other. It's childish. But at the same time, I find it hilarious because these same people that say that they can't stand a person are the same ones that will go through your website, steal your pictures. You know, they will literally, like, live and die by whatever you say. Like, they are so hell-bent on trying to make fun of you. And what I've learned is that the best thing you can do is just ignore it, because the more you continue to address the person, the worse it's going to get. You're just kind of adding fuel to the fire.
Is it true?
All I can do is, you know, it's just let it go and keep it moving, because the same person that has been giving me the most hell is the same person that is continuing to stay in the same place. And what I've learned is that people who love to start drama, you know, they get a lot of attention for a little while. It may even be for a couple of years. But in the long run, the person that starts the most drama and has, you know, and tries to constantly get an internet beef and is always trying to expose people. Like, I've had a situation where someone actually took, things that I said to them in confidence, and then went out and told other people what I said, trying to, get a bunch of people to hate me based on things that I told them in a confidence, right? And this is the same person that now no one can trust them. Now, you know, everybody's like, I can't believe this person did that to you, considering that this was somebody who was supposed to be your friend. And so you might get a little bit of attention, yeah, but you can't maintain that attention for a long time, because people are going to get tired of you, and they'll also realize that you're a slimy person, that you can't be trusted, that you're so quick to, you know, to snap on someone. And so they're going to, you know, not want to have anything to do with that person. So the 2-3 years down the line, they're going to remember this specific person as someone who just likes to start drama, and that's all they're good for. No matter how many times you try to be positive, if there's so many negative things that you've done, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I'm reminded, like, I don't know if you remember when 50 Cent and Rick Ross, when they had their little beef going on, you remember that?
Well,
50 Cent, he went all stops trying to expose Rick Ross as being, you know, not what he say he was. He brought out his prison guard picture. He had his baby mama on his website. He did all this stuff against Rick Ross. Rick Ross, you know, tried to fire back at him here and there in songs or whatever. But then Rick Ross got to a point that he wasn't going to respond anymore. So, you know, everybody knew who Rick Ross was, but they really didn't know who he was until 50 tried to come at him like that, you know. And 50 went at him hard. I ain't lying. 50 went at him hard, because 50 was normally known for ending people's careers. I mean, like, he went at Ja Rule, and that's about it. And, you know, it's not that he really ended their career. It's that they couldn't deal with it, and they gave up. See, Rick Ross, what he did, he dealt with it. He didn't give up. And more people find out about Rick Ross due to 50 run off at the mouth about him. And now Rick Ross, you know, like I said, he got up to where he's at right now. And I don't think he would have been there if 50 Cent wouldn't have did what he did to him. You get what I'm saying? So any kind of promotion, even if it's negative, is still promotion for you. That attention that you never got before, now you're getting it because of the negativity. Because human nature go want to see, like, who is that guy that he's talking about so much? So people going to come see just because they're curious. And then, of course, you got the mindless zombies, like I call them, who believe anything that they're told instead of just trying to make their own decisions. You get what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. You know, that's why I had, you know, made that video saying, you know, that he, you know, benefiting, because it's like anything that everything he's doing, even though it's negative, is like a benefit to me. And like I said, I can't be mad at him about it. I don't want that kind of attention from nobody. But if you give it to me, I guess. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, I meant that in the video. Why would I be mad at the guy? Why would I want to see anything happen to his accounts or anything? Because it's a beneficial to me. Like I said, I ain't mad at the dude. Like I said, really, I'm not. You know? I mean, now the people that's probably messing with the dude is probably all the people that he went off on. But my opinion, he never went off on me, because like, I've been cussed out I don't know how many times. I tell people, I'm a dark-skinned black man. I think I didn't just about heard it all in the book. But I've been told ever since I got here, being a dark-skinned black man in America, you develop a thick skin real quick. So there's not really much you can say to make somebody, you know, like me to get bothered by it. I mean, well, females, yeah, because they're emotional, but I laugh at you. You know, think it's funny and go on with my business. But, you know, I know some of y'all are listening. I know some of y'all are probably going to pass this audio message to him because, you know, I know how some of y'all are. Some of y'all are so messy, you know, but some of y'all are for the right thing also. So I'm pretty sure, you know, maybe he hear this. So y'all make sure to forward it to him. Y'all going to play it and he probably say something about it. But like I said, I don't care what you do. My position is this. And I keep saying it, I ain't got nothing against the guy. I don't fool with him like that. Like I said, ain't got that kind of time. So, you know, he can keep doing what he want to do. Like I said, he can make his parody channel, and that's fine. Like I said, I'm cool with that. I ain't got no problem with him with that. So, it is what it is. So, anyway, I think, have I answered everything I feel like I need to ask this guy real on that?
Man, pretty much.
Okay. All right. So that's all y'all get out of me, folks, with that situation. I won't do no YouTube videos or nothing like that. So there's no point on that. That's why I got a Blog Talk Radio show for, so I can say what I want and not worry about, you know, somebody coming up dealing with certain things. So, but anyway, Ms. Gabriella, the Guile VIP magazine, while we got 7 minutes left. How is that working out for you?
It's working out fine. We're working on a few new projects, and the magazine should be out in March. So I'm actually going to post a link in the chat box where people can like the fan page, and I'm actually going to be featured in the magazine. So, you know, if you guys are interested, I will put it there so anybody can go and check it out.
Okay, and how did you get into that? Because I looked at that, and I say, well, that's quite different, because you don't see too many sisters getting involved with Japanese anything.
It was just something that, I mean, I've always been a different type of person. I kind of just marched the beat of my own drum, and I've been interested in this Japanese fashion for about 3 years now, and it's taken a lot of networking and, you know, improving my makeup and so many different things to be able to get the opportunity to be in the magazine, because it's not easy to get into. And, you know, I basically what I did was I went after, so I looked for something that I was really interested in, and I kind of just went for it. And I know that a lot of black people wouldn't want to do anything that I'm doing, because I mean, I try to share the stuff with, you know, some of my friends and family, and they're like, what on earth is this? Why does everybody look like Barbie dolls, and why does everybody, you know, dress like that or look like that? It's just something that I found interesting. I just thought it was so different. And, you know, I love to just be unique and stand out. And so that kind of just made me get into it.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, so it originated out of, what city, Tokyo or something like that in Japan?
I mean, well, the Gyari style originated in Japan. It was a long history, actually. You can actually go and look it up on
basically it's more of a, it was kind of like a sort of revolution. Like the women in Japan were kind of trying to rebel against the standards of society where women were meant to, you know, have very pale skin, and they were supposed to be quiet and, you know, not, and be submissive and be housewives. Where these girls, they were like, oh, I don't want to do that. I want to, you know, go out and have fun. I want to enjoy my life. And so they started some type of, it was almost like a little revolution. They kind of just rebelled against everything that society told them. And to me, I really identified with the style because I've always been the type of person that says, I don't care about what society says. I'm going to do whatever makes me happy. And regardless of the fact that, you know, this style of makeup is different than what everybody wears, and this style of dress is different from what everybody wears, I like it. This is what makes me happy. And so I embraced it. And I try to, you know, inspire anybody who is kind of afraid of standing out, because that was me. I have spent so much of my life trying to fit in with everybody else. And as I became an adult, I learned that it doesn't matter what people think of you. You know, what matters is, as long as you're not doing anything that's, you know, morally wrong, or you're not doing anything that's illegal, I feel that it's important to just be who you are.
That's very important. You got to be yourself. Be yourself. Because if you try to be, you know, anything else more than you, you know, you're going to have a problem. You're going to be just like a cheap imitation. And, you know, I mean, you have to stand out, because too many people these days that, you know, don't want to stand out and be themselves. So, you know, with all that said, I want to thank everyone for joining the show tonight. I want to thank Locke for joining us and kicking some knowledge, sharing his music. And as always, it's, you know, me and Miss Gabriella on the Advice Show here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back next week for another show. Check your page or just follow the show. That way you can know when we're going to post the next show and things like that. So you can follow me on Twitter at The Advice Show. Same thing, Facebook.com/The Advice Show. Ms. Gabriella says she was going to put her links inside the chat room. That way you can follow her, like a fan page, follow her on Twitter. I think, was it at Black Snooki, right? Black_Snooki or just Black Snooki?
It's Black Snooki. It's a long story behind that nickname, so I'm not going to tell you right now.
Nah, it's always a long story. It's always a lot of things in life. But yeah, like I said, y'all can catch me on also youtube.com/TheAdviceShowTV. And make sure you catch out my other channel, Ratchet Video Weekly, the channel where I'm just having fun. I'm having a good time. Even my latest show, I'm even imitating a woman dancing. I just have fun doing that video today. People laughing at me. I don't care if you're laughing with me. I just like to have fun. I mean, you can't do online things and have fun with it. What's the point? You might as well shut it down. So, Gabriel, got anything to say before we take off?
The call broke up. I can't hear you.
I think, anything to say before we get off the show?
Oh, no, other than, you know, like the fan pages, I also wanted to say thank you all for listening and for being such a great audience. I really appreciate you all taking time out of your day to listen to us. It really means a lot.
It really does, because I'm just happy one person listens. And when I look at, you know, some things that, you know, how many people actually listen in a month, like I said, it's quite humbling. And we definitely thank y'all for, you know, supporting, you know, the show and what we're doing. You know, we're trying our best to bring, you know, good shows, good topics, and, you know, definitely, you know, trying to bring, you know, more and more guests to the show. And, you know, if y'all got any ideas or certain topics we haven't got into, you know, y'all let us know, and we'll try to see if we could, you know, work that out. You know, cause we definitely want to accommodate, you know, our listeners and what topics that you guys want to hear. So till next week, you guys stay blessed, and, you know, take care of your family and everything, and we'll see you next week.